Imagine a toddler on the brink of death during a Legionnaire's disease outbreak in Southern California. His desperate parents, devout Christian scientists who eschewed conventional medicine, watched helplessly as their son deteriorated. In a final plea, the mother demanded that her religion work. After a practitioner reassured her that God loves your child, she returned to find her son miraculously recovered, sitting up happily in his father's arms. That child was Eric Vance, who grew up never visiting doctors until age 18. His faith eventually shattered during a terrifying rock climbing experience, but his fascination with the healing he'd witnessed remained. Suggestible You has become a cultural touchstone for understanding the brain's remarkable ability to bend reality, praised by neurologists and psychologists alike for making complex neuroscience accessible. The book's insights have influenced medical training programs and sparked conversations about harnessing the mind's power in healthcare settings, offering a bridge between conventional medicine and the mysterious ways our expectations shape our physical reality. The history of medicine is inextricably linked to the placebo effect, that immediate relief you feel after taking a painkiller before it could possibly work. This isn't just a trick for the gullible, it's a measurable brain event that forms the cornerstone of modern medicine. Research shows that placebos can trigger the release of endorphins and other neurochemicals, producing real physiological changes in pain perception, immune response, and even motor function. Consider Natalie Grams, a conventional doctor whose panic attacks resisted medical treatment but found relief through homeopathy, essentially water diluted beyond any active ingredient. She became a homeopath herself, helping patients like a depressed shut-in who improved with melted snow. Another patient with chronic migraines reported complete relief after homeopathic treatments. When researching a book to validate homeopathy scientifically, Grams discovered it worked through storytelling, attention, and ritual rather than chemistry, leading her to abandon the practice but acknowledge the power of therapeutic relationships. Throughout history, bizarre remedies from partridge brains to bloodletting worked through expectation. Ancient Egyptian physicians prescribed crocodile dung and donkey hooves, while medieval doctors relied on precious stones and astrological timing. In 18th century Paris, Franz Mesmer's animal magnetism treatments caused convulsions and supposedly cured ailments from psychological maladies to blindness through masterful theatrics. His elaborate sessions featured dim lighting, mirrors, and music played on glass harmonicas. Benjamin Franklin and French scholars eventually exposed Mesmer, concluding, "In medicine, faith saves. This faith is the product of the imagination." The placebo effect works largely through classical conditioning. Like Pavlov's dogs, we're conditioned to expect healing in medical settings. The theater of medicine, white coats, examining rooms, even the smell of disinfectant, triggers unconscious healing responses. Studies show that pills work better when yellow rather than blue, yellow being associated with stimulation, injections outperform pills, perceived as more potent, and expensive placebos work better than cheap ones. These effects persist even when patients know they're receiving placebos, a phenomenon called open-label placebo treatment. Pharmaceutical companies view placebos contradictorily. During drug development, placebo responses are obstacles to overcome, with some trials showing up to 40% improvement in control groups. Yet once drugs reach market, companies leverage these same effects through marketing that builds confidence and expectation. Commercials showing scientific-looking animations of drugs working enhance the placebo effect by bolstering patient confidence. Package design, branding, and price points are carefully calculated to maximize these psychological benefits. In Catemaco, Mexico, known for traditional healers or brujos, modern practitioners have adapted by incorporating elements of conventional medicine, white coats, antiseptic smells, waiting rooms, while maintaining mystical elements like crystals and herbs. Some combine modern diagnostic tools with traditional ceremonies, creating a hybrid approach that satisfies both ancient beliefs and contemporary expectations. This evolution reflects how expectation is culturally determined, as the trappings that inspire confidence change over time. Similar adaptations can be seen in traditional Chinese medicine clinics and Ayurvedic practices worldwide, demonstrating the universal importance of belief in healing. Tor Wager's groundbreaking fMRI studies fundamentally changed our understanding of how placebos work in the brain. His research revealed that people reporting less pain with placebo treatments weren't simply imagining relief. Their brains showed measurably reduced activity in key pain processing regions, including the anterior cingulate cortex, thalamus, and insula. These studies demonstrated that the placebo effect represents a complex interaction where pain signals from the body collide with expectation signals from the prefrontal cortex, creating our actual perceived experience of pain or relief. The mechanism of placebo pain relief is particularly fascinating because it operates in reverse of typical pain pathways. While normal pain signals start in injured tissue and travel up through the nervous system, placebo responses originate in the prefrontal cortex, the brain's planning and expectation center, and work downstream. This top-down process triggers the release of natural painkillers and dampens activity in pain recognition areas. Wager's landmark 2004 paper in Science, combined with concurrent research at the Karolinska Institute, provided decisive evidence that placebos create real neurobiological effects rather than just psychological responses. The chemical orchestra behind placebo responses is remarkably complex. While endogenous opioids were the first discovered mechanism, researchers have since identified multiple chemical players. Endocannabinoids, similar to marijuana's active compounds, serotonin, involved in mood regulation, and most crucially, dopamine. Often called the brain's puppet master, dopamine influences everything from reward processing and movement to attention, memory formation, and pain perception. The power of dopamine-driven placebo effects is dramatically illustrated in Parkinson's disease studies, where some patients confined to wheelchairs temporarily regain significant mobility after receiving fake medication, accompanied by massive dopamine releases visible on brain scans. Pain specialist Sean Mackey describes chronic pain as a self-perpetuating cycle where the brain becomes trapped in a loop of expecting and therefore experiencing pain even after the original injury has healed. This understanding suggests two potential intervention paths: direct medication or leveraging the placebo effect to interrupt these maladaptive prediction patterns. Researcher Karin Jensen is pursuing a particularly promising direction, investigating whether conditioning techniques might enable patients to unconsciously trigger their own internal pain relief systems, potentially creating lasting placebo responses without requiring conscious belief or deception. The author's personal experience with acupuncture for forearm pain provides an interesting case study in placebo mechanics. Despite 6 weeks of treatment, he saw no improvement, leading him to consider acupuncture as an active placebo, a treatment that creates physical sensations convincing enough to trigger placebo responses in some patients. This would explain acupuncture's curious pattern in clinical trials. While it often outperforms no treatment, it rarely shows superiority to well-designed placebo controls, suggesting its benefits may stem more from expectation and sensation than from its proposed mechanisms of action. While placebos heal through positive expectation, nocebos harm through negative suggestion. Stanford pain researcher Sean Mackey investigates what makes some people vulnerable to chronic pain, wondering if the brain itself might be stuck in a rut. Using feedback fMRI, patients can learn to control their pain perception by watching their own brain activity. At Walter Reed, Dr. Christopher Spavak treats veterans by conditioning pain relief with sensory inputs, like peppermint smells or favorite songs, gradually reducing medication needs. Even simple changes in how doctors describe procedures, replacing big bee sting with local anesthetic, dramatically alters pain perception. Nocebo effects extend beyond clinical settings into everyday life, manifesting as mass hysteria in schools, panic over medication changes, and controversial conditions like wind turbine syndrome. Keith Petrie's research demonstrates how people develop symptoms based on what they're told to expect, regardless of actual exposure. The power of negative suggestion can be deadly. In certain cultural contexts, extreme stress or fear can literally shut down a person's system. This voodoo death phenomenon isn't limited to exotic cultures. In Western society, elderly spouses often die in quick succession. People who believe they're at risk for heart disease die at higher rates, and cancer patients with negative outlooks don't live as long as optimistic ones. To explore this power firsthand, the author sought out a curse in Mexico City's Mercado Sonora. Though initially skeptical, when his pregnant wife developed abdominal pain requiring an emergency room visit, doubt crept in. At the hospital, there were terrifying moments when doctors couldn't find his unborn son's heartbeat. Eventually, they determined the pain was just stretching ligaments and digestive issues, not related to the pregnancy. The experience taught him that the only difference between a curse and blessing is what we bring to it. Our fear or hope shapes our perception. Like placebo effect, pain can instantly transform from tolerable to unbearable with just a suggestion. We are programmed to fear first and hope later, making us all susceptible to nocebos despite our rational minds. In March 1988, the small town of Stuart, Florida, experienced mass hysteria when authorities claimed to have discovered a satanic cult operating from the local Montessori preschool. The evidence came from children's recovered memories, horrific accounts of dark ceremonies, blood rituals, and sexual abuse that supposedly had been buried in their psyches and only emerged under hypnosis. 12-year-old Kristen Grace Erickson was among the children hypnotized. Though she initially had pleasant memories of the preschool, after hypnosis sessions, she began remembering bizarre rituals involving hooded figures, snake blood, and being placed on a table. For 15 years, she lived believing she'd been molested by a satanic cult, until an experience in a sensory deprivation tank led her to question these memories. Our brains don't record reality like cameras or flash drives. Memory is an integrated, constructive process constantly rebuilding itself. Memory formation happens in three stages: encoding, paying attention to events as they occur; consolidation, transferring important short-term memories to long-term storage; and retrieval. But retrieval isn't simply accessing a file. It's recreating the memory anew each time, making it vulnerable to distortion. False memories occur when errors happen in any of these stages. They can form during initial encoding, during consolidation into long-term memory, or during retrieval years later. For some people, false memories can be just as powerful and even longer-lasting than real ones. Despite extensive research, no reliable trait has emerged to distinguish false memories from real ones. Brain imaging studies face enormous challenges since the subject doesn't know they're recalling something false. What we do know is that false memories involve multiple brain regions tied to memory, imagination, perception, and emotion. Their emotional power and certainty can be just as strong as real memories. And everyone is susceptible, even people with hyperthymesia, who remember every life event in detail. For Kristen Grace Erickson, realizing her childhood abuse memories were fabricated was bittersweet. She recognized similarities between her memories and imagery from horror movies she'd seen. As a child, she wanted to be helpful and believed adults unconditionally. Plus, she enjoyed the attention, a common pattern among child witnesses who later recant. Scientists have identified how false memories function in the brain, showing they share characteristics with gist or fuzzy memories, general recollections without specific details. These semantic memories are particularly susceptible to manipulation. Elizabeth Loftus and Chinese researchers found that no single personality trait predicts susceptibility to false memories, but certain combinations do, particularly people unfazed by danger or others' opinions, yet highly cooperative and reward-driven. Memory evolved not as a perfect recording system, but as a prediction tool that helps animals use past experiences to navigate the future. our ancient ancestors developed increasingly complex memories that allowed them to store food, construct hunting grounds, and maintain social hierarchies. But perfect accuracy was never required, and perhaps there were advantages to remembering events the way you wanted to.
Expectation and suggestion extend far beyond medicine into every facet of daily life, what we buy, eat, how we exercise, and even our self-perception. When implemented correctly, suggestibility can make us thinner, happier, faster, stronger, smarter, and better in bed. It doesn't cost money, but requires buying into a story. Our brains constantly make predictions while we choose which stories to believe. Marketing experts have long exploited this through marketing placebos, where branding and price dramatically alter perception. Wine tastes better from expensive bottles with flowery descriptions. Athletes perform better drinking from Gatorade bottles. Students score higher using MIT-branded pens. These effects aren't unlimited. Grape juice won't become fine wine, but when products are similar, expectation trumps our senses. This explains how two-buck Chuck wine won prestigious competitions in blind tastings, but gets ignored when labels are visible. Marketing placebos work through deception, either from marketers or self-deception. The $70 bottle of wine isn't necessarily twice as good as a $35 bottle, but its price reflects what people will pay, creating a feedback loop. It's expensive because people think it's good, and people think it's good because it's expensive. Our experience of food is highly susceptible to manipulation. Expectation also affects how our bodies process calories. Aaliyah Crum's research at Stanford demonstrates how mindsets affect physiological responses to food. In her experiment, subjects given identical 380-calorie milkshakes showed dramatically different ghrelin responses, the hunger hormone, based solely on whether they believed they were consuming a diet shake or an indulgent one. Changing your mindset can transform physical performance without changing behavior. Crum demonstrated this with hotel chambermaids. Despite being physically active all day, most maids reported getting little exercise. When Crum educated half the group about how their work constituted significant physical activity, they experienced measurable weight loss and blood pressure improvements within a month compared to the control group. For athletes, belief can supercharge performance dramatically. Studies show remarkable improvements when athletes believe they're taking performance enhancers while actually taking placebos. Weightlifters improved 12 to 16% thinking they'd taken caffeine. Runners shaved significant time believing they were blood doping. And subjects became 50% more resistant to exercise pain when given placebos they thought were morphine. Addiction represents a dark inversion of the same expectation mechanisms that power placebos. Affecting roughly 1 in 10 Americans, addiction fundamentally alters brain chemistry, particularly involving dopamine, our reward neurotransmitter. Drug use overwhelms the system, causing the brain to reduce dopamine production and alter receptor function, creating a vicious cycle where only the drug provides relief. The power of suggestion works both ways with substances. People drinking non-alcoholic beer feel intoxicated if they believe it contains alcohol, while those unknowingly drinking alcoholic root beer absorb less alcohol than those expecting intoxication. Researchers are now exploring how expectation might combat addiction. Bradley Taylor's team discovered that pain never truly disappears during healing. It's merely masked by our internal opioids. This suggests we become dependent on our own natural painkillers during recovery. Building on this insight, NIH researcher Luana Kalaka is developing protocols that gradually replace prescription opioids with placebos, training patients to activate their internal pharmacy rather than becoming dependent on external drugs. Clinical depression isn't just being bummed out. It's a physiological disease that measurably alters brain function, like being chemically sedated into someone unrecognizable. Remarkably, placebos are so effective against depression that pharmaceutical companies struggle to develop drugs that outperform them. studies from 1987 to 1999 showed that 75 to 80% of the efficacy of blockbuster drugs like Prozac and Zoloft could be attributed to placebo effects. The placebo effect in depression trials has actually strengthened over decades. Prozac, which barely outperformed placebos in 1988, might not receive FDA approval today against modern placebo responses. This may be because our expectations about antidepressants have evolved. Everyone now knows what Prozac is supposed to do, potentially amplifying the placebo effect through cultural awareness. Sexual placebos may be humanity's oldest form of suggestibility. For millennia, cultures worldwide have used countless remedies for sexual enhancement. This landscape changed dramatically with sildenafil citrate, Viagra, in 1997. Studies show Viagra helps over 80% of men with erectile dysfunction eventually achieve success, while placebos still work for about 50% with persistence. We are all inherently suggestible, whether we admit it or not. Our expectations shape our physical reality in profound ways, even affecting seemingly mechanical organs like the heart, which responds to placebos as readily as any other body part. The line between mind and body is artificial. Any disease that cripples a person is absolutely real, regardless of its origin. Harnessing expectations' power requires understanding that placebos and hypnotic inductions are essentially vessels for storytelling that capture our imagination. The stories that resonate with us depend on our personal history and values. Remarkably, placebos can work even when we consciously know they're placebos, much like enjoying a magic show while knowing it's an illusion. While tapping into the brain's medicine cabinet can be beneficial, it requires careful balance. Four essential rules guide safe experimentation with expectation. 1. Don't endanger yourself. Avoid physically dangerous remedies and unregulated supplements, which often don't contain what they claim. Never abandon scientifically proven treatments for life-threatening conditions. 2. Don't go broke. While expensive placebos may work better than cheap ones, spending thousands on miracle cures can leave you financially devastated. 3. Don't send any creature to extinction. No human condition justifies driving species to extinction for treatments with no proven medical value. 4. Know thyself. Understand your own suggestibility and which placebos might work for you. Recognize which conditions respond best to expectation. Chronic pain, IBS, anxiety, nausea, mild depression, headaches, arthritis, fibromyalgia, Parkinson's, and addiction are prime candidates. Finding a qualified hypnotist requires caution. With no widely accepted certification, anyone can claim the title after minimal training. The best approach is to seek professionals who are licensed in their field and use hypnosis as just one tool in their practice. For pain treatment, consult a specialist with hypnosis in their repertoire rather than a pure hypnotist. Suggestibility affects many medical conditions, but not all. While Parkinson's responds well to placebos, Alzheimer's does not. The disease may actually damage the brain's placebo response mechanisms. Similarly, anxiety responds to placebos, while obsessive-compulsive disorders typically don't. Cancer pain and nausea can be eased through suggestion, but tumors themselves remain unaffected. The most effective healings share a common theme. They operate from the perspective that healing has already happened, not that it will happen in the future. This already-done mindset creates a powerful psychological framework that enables healing to unfold naturally. People highly responsive to suggestion should consider themselves talented rather than gullible. They possess a remarkable ability to find relief through the power of expectation alone. This sensitivity to suggestion, far from being a weakness, represents an evolutionary advantage that allows individuals to adapt and heal more effectively. My journey ends where it began, at the Christian Science Mother Church in Boston, an imposing edifice that symbolizes the intersection of faith and healing. Margit Hammerstrom, a veteran Christian Science healer since 1984, explains how the practice differs from other alternative treatments by permeating every aspect of adherents' lives. Unlike occasional interventions, Christian Science becomes a lifestyle, influencing everything from daily decision-making to handling health challenges. She describes her childhood healing experience, recovering from vision problems through prayer alone after years of wearing glasses. This transformation wasn't merely physical, it represented a fundamental shift in her understanding of reality and healing. The fundamental difference between science and faith lies in their approaches to truth. Science can be wrong and actively seeks to disprove itself, while faith begins and ends with the same answer. Yet this distinction needn't create an unbridgeable divide. We shouldn't have to choose between science and suggestion. They can work synergistically. Doctors have much to learn from shamans about the power of ritual, ceremony, and belief. While shamans can benefit from scientific understanding of human physiology and evidence-based practices. If physicians knew there was a drug with no side effects that could add 10 to 30% effectiveness to treatments, they'd immediately prescribe it. Yet when told this drug is simply extra time, a kindly touch, and clear explanation of treatment plans, many modern doctors look right past it. The rushed nature of modern medicine often prevents these crucial human elements from being properly implemented. What if medical schools required students to pass a placebo test before graduating? This would ensure future doctors understand the power of belief and expectation in healing. Imagine if doctors saw their treatments not just as chemicals, but as stories to be told, viewing patients with the same attentiveness as healers. This narrative approach to medicine could transform the healing experience, making treatments more effective through the power of understanding and connection. Our minds are elaborate palaces with hidden doors and secret passageways, complex networks of belief, memory, and expectation that influence our physical well-being. Those who find the courage to explore these hidden rooms might discover internal pharmacies and new ways of understanding themselves, accessing healing resources they never knew they possessed. Suggestibility is a skill we can all develop through practice and awareness, enabling us to expect less pain, gain more control, and find greater joy in our healing journeys. It's not about denying medical science, but enhancing it through the power of belief and expectation. It's just a suggestion, take it or leave it, but the evidence for its effectiveness continues to mount.